Hey there, and welcome to the Voice of Topsfield. This is the podcast where we bring our community closer together by sharing the amazing stories, interviews, and updates about the people, events, and places that make Topsfield so special. We release new episodes every week, so you'll always be in the loop with what's happening around town. You can catch the Voice of Topsfield on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or straight from our website. Thanks for joining us, and let's dive into the heart of our community together.
Thank you for joining us on the Voice of Topsfield, broadcasting live from 50 Main Street in Topsfield. Today, we are joined by Rob Kirkpatrick. Rob, thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pete. Really appreciate the time.
So one of the things that I thought was most interesting when I met you was what you do professionally. Can you give us a little bit of information on like what you do and kind of how you got to being who you are?
Sure. So I guess my professional career started in college. I studied chemical engineering. I immediately after school moved to an industrial filtration company. I started doing like building test stands, moved into R&D. I acquired some like a little bit of controls experience. And then from there, I moved into this wastewater treatment startup where we treated the wastewater for breweries and wineries. So it's actually pretty interesting. There's all these microbreweries, right, popping up in like rural places or just really all over the place. And it actually creates a huge problem for the municipalities who go from having, they go from having to treat the wastewater of 6,000 residents to having maybe triple that because breweries put out a lot of what's called biological oxygen demand. So when these breweries pop up, they start putting their wastewater in the municipality and it like crushes their system. Their wastewater systems are biological systems and they get overloaded and the bugs that treat the water crash and die. So that created this environment where breweries were paying a lot of money to dispose of their wastewater. And that's where this company popped up. So I gained a lot of controls experience, programming, pumps and valves to open and shut and sequence to treat water. And from there, I moved to Abiomed, which is a great company, really cool. We make the world's smallest heart pump and it treats people with chronic heart failure or people experiencing a heart emergency, heart attack, or something along those lines.
What does it do? Like, what does the heart pump do?
Sure. So it's a catheter-based heart pump. So if you imagine that drinking straw, it looks pretty much like a drinking straw for maybe the bottom 6 inches of it. That's the part that goes closest to your heart. So they put like a hole in your femoral artery, which is in your right leg, and then they thread this heart pump all the way up into your heart, up through your leg, through your chest, into your heart. And it would literally suck blood out of your heart and push it to the rest of your body. So if you're experiencing a heart event, it's able to fully unload your heart, fully or partially unload your heart.
So how did you get into engineering?
Ever since I was a kid, I loved creating, I loved building, always very experimental, intellectually curious. So it was just sort of a natural path.
What was one of the coolest things that you built when you were a kid?
I grew up in Rye, New Hampshire, and we had like a woodsy backyard. So our backyard opened up to a big plot of land. So you could go back there and you wouldn't be able to see houses. And me and my cousin were, my cousin would be over our house constantly. So we would go back there and we would build stuff. So we built a ton of tree forts, build stuff out of sticks, whatever we could find. I'd say that's what I had the most fun building. We'd go down, we'd uproot dead trees, bring them over, make TVs and log cabins and all sorts of stuff. We'd just spend hours and hours back there. I would say they were architecturally sound. I would not say they were a work of art or, yeah, they were basically a pile of sticks. I mean, to us, they looked like a fortress. To a passerby, they'd probably look like a pile of sticks.
I did the same thing when I was young as well. My brother and I used to build forts. One day we got it in our mind, this is wood that we found around to put like a second and third floor on it. And so my mother came home to see me standing on the top of this constructed fort with three stories. It took some life off my mother. So I know I've seen you occasionally running around Topsfield. Is that something that you do a lot of for activity?
Yeah, I'd say that's my go-to exercise. I have three kids at home, so not a ton of opportunity to exercise. So I'll try and go for a run in the morning. I'll try 3 days a week. Not saying that always happens. Definitely go weeks without running, but I do love getting some good exercise in, and I find running's a good quick way to do it. Gets a heart going, gets me ready for the day.
Nice. Is Topsfield like good for running?
I'd say it's great. I mean, there's a lot of streets with low traffic, and then the ones that have higher traffic, there's almost always a sidewalk, and there's sidewalks everywhere in Topsfield, so it's awesome. It's awesome.
So how long have you been at Topsfield for?
We've been in Topsfield for 4 years in 1 month.
4 years. So you came in during COVID.
Yeah, it was the height of COVID. It really was. It was maybe 3 months after like the lockdown started, after everyone was like fully locked down. So it was definitely an interesting time to move.
It's funny, we were talking before, is we looked at the house that probably right after you or right before you then ended up on High Street towards the hill. But yeah, I think it was really funny that it just happened to look at the house that you were looking at and you ended up getting later. It's wild. So what brought you to Topsfield?
So Topsfield was not on the top of our radar when we were looking for a house. Before Topsfield, we were renting in Medford. We had a like a one story, I don't know, relatively small apartment. Rent was pretty pricey in my opinion. We had our son James, who's 2 years old at the time. And you know what, like our aspirations were to one day own a home. And also, I really wanted my wife to be able to stay at home with the kids, raise them, and just give them that extra bit of energy. And in the back of my mind was this question: when are we going to move out of our apartment and buy a home? And when will my wife move to being a full-time mom? So at the time, she was teaching in East Boston as a middle school teacher. Yeah, we were trying to figure out that question. And in late 2019, we learned that we were pregnant. That sort of, made these two questions a little more pertinent. So, it was really something we were struggling with. I've always been very frugal, so I always wanted to put a huge down payment on the house, not have to worry about the interest. That was something I was like, oh, need to save, save, save. But at the same time, like James was getting older, and that opportunity to for Laura to be home with him and raise him was, that was taking away as well. It was something I was struggling with. We were praying a lot about it, and really trying to figure out what we were doing. I was making Excel spreadsheets for finances and trying to figure it all out.
Good engineer.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of weeks later, we learned we were having twins. So when we learned that we were having twins, we in our minds it made it abundantly clear we had to switch gears, and Laura was going to be full-time mom, because we knew raising twins was going to be a ton of work. Taking care of two babies is tough. Taking care of one baby is tough. And from there, we knew on a single income we wouldn't be saving. We'd probably be losing money. And so it was time to pull the trigger on buying a house. This was our best shot. At the time, real estate prices seemed really expensive. In hindsight, I'm like, wow, I don't know what we would have done if we didn't get in then. So we started looking for homes. We were looking between Hingham, where my wife's parents are, and Rye, New Hampshire, where my parents are. So two things. One, we're looking for homes in that general area. We're trying to find the halfway point between them. And second point is I was looking for a new job. And funny enough, my mom, she's not a helicopter parent, but when her kids are, you know, in need of something or could use help, she'll pitch in. So she actually sent me a job listing for a company pretty local to Topsfield in Danvers called Abiomed. The company's called Abiomed. It was for an automation engineer. And that was the only listing that she sent me, which I thought was cool. And that ended up being where I'd eventually go to. Yeah, so I submitted my application, got a call from the recruiter, did all the phone interviews, did the in-person interview. And at the time, I took the day off from work to do that interview. And my sister-in-law was babysitting my son, James, while I was at the interview when I got back. And she said, how'd it go? And I said, oh, you know, the place is beautiful. The people were just like super bright and on top of it. And the place is way out of my league, basically. I didn't think I had a chance after seeing it in person. And she says, what's the name of the company again? And I said, it's like Abiomed or Abiomed. It's called Abiomed. But she's like, oh, no way. I know the CEO of that company. I took care of his son in the hospital. So I just thought that coincidence was like totally amazing. So anyway, I ended up getting the position. And then weeks later, my recruiter at the time, normally you don't talk to your recruiter after you've been onboarded, but my recruiter called me up and she said, hey, I've got a strange question to ask you. I said, okay. She goes, did you used to live in Rye, New Hampshire? I said, yeah. And she goes, did you live on Fern Ave by any chance? I said, yeah. She goes, I used to babysit for you when you were a kid. And I was like, whoa, this is so weird. I mean, this is all on the heels of months of praying about where we were going to, what we were going to do, continue renting or make the biggest purchase of our life. And those like two back-to-back coincidences, just like, wow. So yeah, she wasn't like my full-time babysitter. I probably would have remembered her better, but she was like she would frequently, sub in when, the person who like lived on our street or wherever they were from couldn't do it. Got the job in, Danvers, and that sort of centralized, you know, put a little, radius around where we were going to start looking. So we were really looking at coastal towns because I grew up in Rye and I had this vision of my kids being able to bike to the beach. And I've always loved the beach. I was a big surfer pre-kids. And I just love the water, body surfing, boogie boarding, surfing. I just love just swimming, love the water. So that was like a non-negotiable for me. So we were looking in Beverly, anywhere that had access to like bikeable access to the beach. So Beverly, Ipswich, we were looking in Hamilton and Wenham a little bit. I don't think we ever went down to like Gloucester because that was just too far. We didn't want to be too far from our families. And we ended up putting in an offer on a house at Ipswich that was in rough shape. Not the best, not really a neighborhood. The house was, it was sort of falling apart. It was a pretty small home with lots of small rooms, probably about the size of this room. And each room was like, you had to step up or down to it. And the floors were like so tilted towards the middle of the house that you could like drop a marble and it go through the wall. So it was in rough shape. The electrical was not good. In the basement, they had like 50 lolly columns, like supporting the house that were like newly added. So I was like, see, look, they've already done the structural work that they needed to do, but like, yeah, in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, if they need 50 Wally columns to keep this house up, that's not a great sign. And then, so after the home inspection, my dad went to the home inspection with me. And he was very disappointed by this house, I remember. After that home inspection, we actually decided to back out of that house at the very last minute. And at this point, my wife was due in 2 months with the twins. So we were like a little bit in panic mode. We're like, do we like, and plus we needed to like re-up our lease at some point. So we're like, we have to make a decision like in the next week. Otherwise it's too late. We're going to be moving in the midst of taking care of two twins. So yeah, it was crunch time, and plus it was COVID, right? So I forget. I think we were looking at houses wearing masks at that time, which is sort of crazy to think about, but yeah, that's where we were. So we went on Zillow that night, and there was two houses that popped up that we hadn't seen before. One was here in Topsfield, and another one was in Hamilton. They were pretty much the exact same price. One was in a neighborhood, and one was not. Houses were like same square footage, and actually, I think the Hamilton one had a pool, which would have been nice. But yeah, so my wife, we put it in on in a, sorry. We found the houses that night. We scheduled a showing the very next day for both houses. I didn't go to either of them. My wife went by herself. So I had never even seen the house in Topsfield or Hamilton. I asked my wife which one she liked better. She said Topsfield. I said, great. Just put the offer in. Offer was accepted. And yeah, the rest was history, I guess. So that next week, we checked out Topsfield. Me for the first time, Laura for like sort of the second time. We parked at her house, walked downtown, beautiful downtown. The area is beautiful. One of the things that had always struck us when we were coming up here to look at houses, when we'd go up to Ipswich or whatever, coming off Route 1. And I think I've mentioned this before. You'd go on Route 1, there's that big dip. Mm-hmm. And off to your left, if you're coming from the highway, is this like beautiful valley. There's like a pond. It's just beautiful. So it always like, I distinctly remember coming from the city, you know, my back's a little tight, my breath's a little short, and then you come up here and it'd just be a deep breath. Like just experience that nature and that quietness. And yeah, just so relaxing, so beautiful. So loved that. That didn't change. Loved how walkable the town was. We could walk to church, we could walk to Leela's or grocery store or whatever. So yeah, that was awesome. And we went to St. Rose that weekend as well. And the church was packed with young families, and it was just a very vibrant community. So after having done all this demographic research and gone to churches up and down the coast, we stumbled on Topsfield totally by accident, and it was everything we were looking for. Really amazing.
So, Rob, during your time here, what are some of the things that have really struck you about the community of Topsfield?
So in July 20th is when we moved in officially, and that's when we first got introduced to the community. And neighbors are super friendly. Like I mentioned, the church community was very vibrant. People are, you know, introducing themselves to us, and that was a beautiful thing. On August 9th, so a couple weeks later, my wife went into labor, and it was a rough delivery. Laura, the babies came out all seemingly really healthy, good Apgar scores and everything. But Laura lost a lot of blood, so it was a really scary delivery. And there was a point in time where I was like very, very worried about if she'd be all right. We came home from the hospital the doctors were able to figure everything out. We came home from the hospital a few days later, and the night we got home, Julia, so we gave birth, or Laura gave birth to Leah and Julia. And when we got home, Julia stopped eating. She was making a weird motion with her neck. And so I took her back to the hospital. We went to Beverly Hospital, and I asked to get switched to Boston Children's, and we learned that she was very sick. And she wasn't gonna make it. And so we ended up bringing Julia back from Children's, so that we could be with her for however long she'd be with us, sort of in the comfort of our home, and just enjoy the time with her as much as possible. And in that time, the community of Topsfield was just totally amazing. Our neighbors reached out. They put together a gift card to Wolf Hill down the street, for us to buy flowers and stuff for her. Our church community at St. Rose put together a meal train for us. People we had barely met at this point, all reaching out to us and trying to help in whatever way they could. So yeah, just totally overwhelming. And yeah, I mean, I truly believe this is like divine, right? Being placed in Topsfield in the midst of the hardest tragedy of our life, and being surrounded by these people in this community. And I also have to shout out to AbbVie Med, because they also put together meal trains for us. Just being overwhelmed by all those prayer emails to me, and our family. And yeah, just, we couldn't have been in a better place in the world in the midst of that tragedy. So that's what I love about Topsfield. It's just such a good community of caring, good people.
So Rob, I really appreciate you telling your story. I'm sure it was incredibly difficult to have this conversation, but also incredibly brave. Why do you think it's so important to have that conversation?
Primarily because I feel it's a way to honor Julia by telling her story, and by sharing how God took care of us in this time. Sharing that is a way to honor her. And in doing that, it is, it's a healing experience for me as well. So yeah, to honor her, and it's healing. And I think it also helps people who might be in a similar circumstance. You don't want to forget about your child, and you definitely don't want to do it intentionally by avoiding talking about them. So in addition to honoring them and honoring God by telling the story of how he brought me here, I want to keep the memory of Julia alive, alive in my heart. And I want to share her with the world. I love her. She's my daughter. And I think that's important, and I think that's healing. But I'd also add, Pete, we all know people who are going through something, and when people are going through something hard, there's a tendency to shy away from that topic, right? You don't want to bring up somebody's pain. But I do believe there's like a deeply healing aspect of talking to people about what's really what they're struggling with. That's something that's very real. Along the same veins of what you're trying to do with this, this podcast, if you know somebody who's going through a struggle, don't be afraid to talk to them about it. Ask them about it. If they don't want to talk about it, they can certainly say no. But for me, when I was going through and I guess I am still going through the loss of Julia. I always found it, you don't want to bury the memory of your child. You want to, I don't know, you want to talk about her.
Yeah. Looks of pride there as well. She will always be your child. So she's always part of the story, right? And she should always be part of the story. The way you do that is you talk about her. You tell stories, you know, that's all you can do. And everyone, you know, at some point in their life is losing someone, right? And for me, I've had a lot of loss over the last couple of years. And it's always been helpful to talk about it.
Ben.
And to keep them. I talk about my grandfather every day, maybe every couple of days, because he had such prevalent stories, and that's maybe what got me excited about doing something like this. But yeah. So I think to keep that stuff alive is the most important. And that's a wrap for this episode of The Voice of Topsfield. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, and all your favorite listening platforms. We release a new episode every Friday, so stay tuned for more local news, events, and stories. Until next time, this is Topsfield.